Welcome to Grand Wire Community Radio News, brought to you by volunteers at Canada's community radio stations. This episode of Grand Wire was produced on the traditional territories of the Mississaugas of the New Credit by the Grand Wire National Coordination Team. I'm your host, Ome Salma Rahemthula. In this episode...
For a single person on social assistance, people are living as much as half the poverty line.
Some accountability is something we definitely need to see in the justice system, and especially in child welfare.
These strange white men came with different faces, language, ideology, technology.
But first, here are the headlines. All Out for Abdul on March 6th was a national day of action calling to stay the deportation of Abdul Abdi, a young Canadian man who arrived in Canada as a child and was granted refugee protection. Abdi became a ward of the state and remained in the system where him and his sister faced horrific abuse. He bounced around through 31 foster homes and never got more than a grade 6 education. Now, the Canadian government wants to deport him without taking responsibility for their own negligence of his care. During the March 6th day of action, supporters in Halifax, Nova Scotia, gathered outside MP Andy Fillmore's office with their demands.
Members of the Black community and concerned people across Turtle Island are joining together to demand an end to this inhumane deportation process. Although Abdul spent his whole childhood in government care, DCS never applied for his citizenship. Like so many children who were taken into care, Abdul became involved in the criminal justice system. He served time in prison, and the government's current attempt to deport him represents a double punishment that a citizen would not face. Canada's immigration system is in need of a serious overhaul. Meanwhile, the government can take immediate and specific actions to reduce further harm and stress to Abdul, including a pause of Abdul's deportation hearing by Public Safety Minister Ralph Goodale so Abdul does not lose his permanent residency status. A request by Goodale's office to the Immigration Division to postpone the deportation while the federal court considers Mr. Abdi's case. And we are also demanding that Ahmed Hussein, the Minister of Immigration, Refugees and Citizenship, act to immediately reform the immigration system so that children without status in government care have timely access to citizenship and long-term residents receive more consideration to remain in Canada.
Thank you to the National Federation of Students Nova Scotia for the audio in that headline. Our next headline comes to us courtesy of Michael Welsh from radio station CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg on occupied Anishinaabe territory and the homeland of the Red River Métis.
Workers at Manitoba's Safeway grocery stores voted 98% in favor of a strike mandate, empowering their bargaining team in their negotiations for a better collective agreement with employer Sobeys. In a March 4th press release, United Food and Commercial Workers Union Local 832, which represents the workers, stated that the existing collective agreement expires on March 17th, meaning that workers could legally strike as early as March 18th.
Right now, Sobeys is basically asking them to gut the collective agreement. And what that means is that you'd be looking at major wage decreases, probably. Basically, what the workers stand to lose is precedent set by about 40 years of collective bargaining in terms of Safeway employees in Western Canada.
Scott Price is a historian at the University of Winnipeg's Oral History Center. He has been working with members of UFCW Local 832 and documenting their history. He points out that much of the labor discontent stems largely from Sobeys' bungled management of Safeway when it took over the chain back in 2013.
They basically ran the company into the ground. So workers are now seeing once a great company being totally mismanaged. Rather than Sobeys do something else or try to figure out where their mistakes were, let's make labor pay for this. So all your wages, all your benefits are gone.
According to Scott Price, the dispute between Sobeys and the Safeway workforce could have profound implications not only for Safeway employees, but for workers across the retail food sector.
If another company sees, oh, hey, this last company, this is what they got, They can ask for something similar or ask for also concessions because, hey, you gave it to this other company. We want a level playing field. So it could be a race to the bottom if it gets to that situation.
As of Friday, March 9th, talks were still ongoing.
That's it for the headlines. We'll be back after this.
The government of Canada sincerely apologizes and asks the forgiveness of the Aboriginal peoples of this country for failing them so profoundly.
This is stolen land where you've been standing. Understand it. Switch it from stitching bandage to subs. understand the rearrangement of some things. Reparation made for corporate gain. First Nation pain's a moral stain. We hide genocide on reservations. Too many pages of our histories erased to mitigate the national shame of it. Built by slave, black labor, hobble, and arrogant racist. John A. McDonald, $10 notes is check the quotes. Genocide personified, exposed. Colonial go both coasts, and they got railway posts for the Chinese ghosts. Mine for diamond, nickel and gold. Total control of petrol flow. Ayo, no Canada, we want none of that. Bogus, broken corporate management. Jingle, patriot, fascist. Petro national, carbon capital, man. Do you understand where you stand? Global capital of resource extraction, fracking, mining, and conflict diamond. The gold, silver's the other mineral fine, cause we hide the villainous minds behind it. We hide the ties of culpability binding to ecocide they leave behind them. Our law facilitates the rape of the lands, the lakes, and the forests that we take from shore, offshore, Earth's core. Suck the source while cops enforce it. The true north is a fortress for the corporate. Out of war forfeit for the profits, it's subsidized, colonized a force. Police report the mixed stock price soar. This is war like it was before. Mama Earth versus the company store. Ayo, no Canada, we want none of that. Bogus, broken corporate management. Jingle, patriot, fascist. Petro-national carbon cap.
You just heard No Canada by Lee Reed. Welcome back to Groundwire, your source for news from the ground up. Available online at www.groundwirenews.ca and airing on your community radio station. Now it's time for feature stories. In Manitoba, issues around poverty and housing have become as acute as ever. Michael Welsh of University of Winnipeg-based radio station CKUW 95.9 FM was curious to get more information about what advocates for progress in these areas were looking for from the budget recently tabled at both the federal and provincial levels of government. He brings us this report.
Federal Budget 2018, tabled by Canada's Finance Minister Bill Morneau on Tuesday, February 27th, emphasized the government priorities of putting people first and rejecting austerity measures. There were also a number of initiatives to grant equal pay, equal opportunity, and equal treatment for women. Assessing such commitments require a considered look at how the most vulnerable in society are likely to be treated. In Manitoba, in the 2 years following the election of a provincial Progressive Conservative government, community-based organizations serving these vulnerable populations have in some cases seen their funding paused or otherwise placed in limbo. This on top of the ongoing concerns facing low-income Manitobans.
My name is Josh Brenn. I work at the Social Planning Council of Winnipeg, and I'm chair of McPoverty History Manitoba. I think a really good starting place was for them to start with a budget that uses a gender lens. Women are more likely to live in poverty and more likely to raise families that are living in poverty. And so that has deep implications across our society. So that's a broad theme that I thought was very positive, that they're focused on that. One thing that was lacking is an overall plan for poverty reduction. We were hoping to see the initial stages of that being rolled out in this year's budget. For a single person on social assistance, people are living as much as half the poverty line. So we need the federal government to mandate that it does provide that basic level of income, but also to provide the adequate funding, the social transfers to make that feasible for every.
My name is Kirsten Burness, and I'm the chair of the Provincial Working Group of the Right to Housing Coalition. Wait lists for our social housing here in Manitoba. Wait lists are very long, and you know, people need access to housing when they need it, right? Otherwise, they're out on the streets. Just from what I scanned, I was able to see that there was some new investments towards increasing the rental construction financing initiative. And so I think the idea there is to spur more development of rental housing kind of more broadly, which is, you know, fine. That's a positive thing. However, if we're talking about some of the most vulnerable people and households, that's not likely going to meet their needs, right? Because, you know, median market rents in our, you know, rental housing, private rental housing market are not affordable to very low income people. So, it's a positive step, but it's not meeting the needs of the most vulnerable. And that's, you know, who we're thinking about at the Right to Housing Coalition. There is a concern here at the provincial level around, you know, the willingness of our provincial government to you know, be at that negotiating table in a way that is really going to take initiative to bring those federal dollars here. And that's, you know, just based on what we've seen over the past couple of years from our provincial government around some housing policy. They, you know, early on in the mandate, talked about developing a provincial housing strategy and did some consultations in their first year, which was great. But it's now almost 2 years in, and that strategy still hasn't been released. So the Right to Housing Coalition is calling on the province to release that strategy now alongside the provincial budget and invest in that strategy in this budget on Monday, because that the federal dollars that are on the table require matching funds from the province, right? So we want to demonstrate that our government is going to be matching those funds so that we could leverage every possible federal dollar that we can here in Manitoba towards addressing housing insecurity and homelessness. So I think that is a concern that we may miss out on this really huge opportunity that we've had to partner with the federal government that we haven't had in so long.
As this report first goes to air, poverty and housing advocates are waiting with bated breath to see if the Manitoba provincial budget will answer their concerns about federal-provincial disconnects or throw a wrench into a long-sought-after strategy for advancing the prospects of our fellow community members. From Winnipeg, on occupied Anishinaabe territory and on the homeland of the Red River Métis, this is CKUW's Michael Welch for Groundwire.
Our next feature comes from CJRU, the Scope News, reporting from Toronto. Following the Justice for Tina Fontaine rally on March 3rd, a group of activists led by youth set up a protest camp outside Toronto's Old City Hall since March 4th to ask for accountability for the deaths of Tina Fontaine, 15, of Sakin First Nation Manitoba, and Colton Bushi, 22, a red pheasant Cree man from Saskatchewan.
A youth-led camp has been occupying the front of Toronto's Old City Hall since March 4th to protest against the criminal justice system, they said, that has not provided accountability for Tina Fontaine and Colton Bushi's deaths. This youth-led camp joins the countrywide sit-in protests first started by the Soaring Eagles camp, which began in Winnipeg and has been picked up by other groups across Canada. The sit-ins are protesting the outcomes of both Fontaine and Bushi's murder trials. Corin John, the organizer of the camp, said they are trying to keep the space safe, positive, and open for dialogue to spread awareness of the injustices the Indigenous community is facing. John said she is ready to camp out as long as they need to get their message across.
So we're going to have the youth come together and talk about changes that we want to see, and then maybe we'll turn this, I think the plan is to kind of turn this really political and say, and maybe start asking for demands and saying, we're not going to leave until this. But one thing I definitely want, so not only is this great because it raises awareness, which that I love, and this is getting attention, which I love, but also we would like to ask for some accountability from the police and from child welfare. That's really important. And admitting their wrongs, that's also very important. So for example, how Tina was legally in child welfare's care, and then something had happened to her and she was set up in a hotel. Like, what about the cops that had made the decision to put her in the hotel? Or how come she's not, child welfare is not legally responsible for what had happened to her, right? So I think some admitting wrong, some accountability is something we definitely need to see in the justice system, and especially too in child welfare. You know, there's been a lot of controversy with that. And so that's why this is open space. So we come here and we have conversation and we talk about things, and all of us are, we live it, right? So we're all very passionate about it. So at some point we're going to have the youth and we're going to have ceremony, and we'll come together, just the youth though. And
The group of activists set up camp on the southwest part of the grounds at the Old City Hall.
And that's why we have so many of these flags and banners and pictures and paintings, so that people come up and they see and then they ask about it. So we have youth at the high school around here that made some brochures, and so that we can start handing that out to people. And I think it's important that the longer we stay here, the better, to show that, you can't get away with killing youth in this country, the Indigenous youth.
A jury in Winnipeg found Raymond Cormier, a 56-year-old man, not guilty of second-degree murder in the death of Tina Fontaine, 15 years old, of Sag King First Nation. 2 weeks before Cormier's acquittal, Gerald Stanley was also not found guilty of second-degree murder in the death of Colton Bougie, a 22-year-old Cree man from Saskatchewan. John said the camp has been receiving a lot of support from people who drop off food and other supplies.
But all day, we have people stopping by. Can I talk to you? Can I interview? Can I donate this? And the people that are coming to ask what we need, that's about every 15 minutes during the day. And so we have a full tent that's just filled with food. And we've actually had to give away food to some of the people who are on the streets that come here at nighttime. And they want to know what's going on. So we've actually had to give away some of the food. We've had to stop telling people, we don't need any more of this because we have a lot, right? But the support has been amazing. And at nighttime, the past few nights, that's when we get people to come over and we drum and we kind of, the days are hard, right? Especially if you're here full time.
The group occupied the area under flurries and strong winds throughout the week.
It's been positive for the most part. And we have people from Old City Hall that have come out, and judges that have come out, and they've asked us to come smudge with them, because I didn't know this. They smudge every Wednesday and Friday. And they asked us to come in. We had some important people stop by, and then we're like, okay, maybe we didn't have a negative day, maybe we had a good day, right? And then in the press that's coming by, and people really do appreciate it. And the plus, like, the money, the food, the thing, it's been great, and it validates that what we're doing is good, and that's it. We're here for the people, right?
For CJRU, I'm Axel Hirona.
Thank you to Axel Hirona for that report. This International Women's Day marked the 17th consecutive year of the March for Women of Diverse Origins held in Montreal, where women took to the streets on March 8th to rise up against capitalism and patriarchy. The following feature reports back from that march, as well as the march organized by the Fédération des Femmes de Québec held in Montréal.
On March 8, 2018, the FFQ, Fédération des Femmes du Québec, and the Women of Diverse Origins Collective collaborated on two demonstrations here in Montreal, Quebec. These demonstrations, one happening at 12 p.m. and the other later in the evening, were organized in light of International Women's Day in order to demand greater state accountability and more government action on issues affecting women and their lives. The protests were centered on violence against women, the wage gap between men and women, the gender distribution of work and disproportionate placement of women in lower paid unstable jobs, discrimination towards Indigenous women and towards migrant women, difficulties accessing health care and public services, the claiming austerity and lack of government funds for women's groups. Gabrielle Bouchard highlighted the importance of intersections and of complicating the view of women's oppression along more than a lens of gender, in order to understand the many ways in which women are disproportionately affected in Canadian society and by the Canadian government. The need to consider the legacies of colonialism and colonial violence, for example, was considered.
One of the demands we had was that to truly end discrimination and racism and violence against women, we absolutely, absolutely need to understand that Aboriginal women in Canada and in Quebec have not been taken seriously, have been seen as objects, have been seen as third-class citizen. And as long as we won't recognize that, we won't be able to move beyond another Tina Fontaine, right? We need to be better than that. That's why we're saying, you know, if you don't see intersections of what sexism is, if your feminism doesn't take into account different marginalization and doesn't take into account how women will experience those barriers differently because of race, because of class, because of origin, then you're missing the point.
Exactly.
We need a more inclusive feminism, and that will be through understanding that special demands have to be made to make sure that we all obtain equality.
At the end of the demonstration, the March 8th Collective encouraged its demonstrators to join the protest that will occur at 5:30 p.m. in Côte des Neiges, organized by the Women of Diverse Origins.
These strange white men came with different faces, language, ideology, technology. But more than that, they came with this hate and misunderstanding of the other on this infamous date when Samuel Champlain first began colonizing in Canada in 1608. Decades of government policy have impoverished and broken apart Indigenous families and communities, but why is it that this abuse is largely met with impunity? Where is left for these girls to turn to when the very system meant to protect them proceeds to exploit and neglect them? When the deep inequalities in living conditions and discrimination in government service provision leaves these women at heightened risk of attack and exploitation, who is left to save them? These rates of spousal assault are 3 times higher than those of non-Indigenous women. These women are not solely victims of violence, but also of a justice system that doesn't seem to give a shit about them.
Tant qu'il le faudra, contre le capitalisme et le patriarcat, dans la rue, tant qu'il le faudra, contre le capitalisme et le patriarcat.
That feature was produced by Sijong Park, Angelo Alcazar Jimenez, Dorothy Yip, and Max Kupperman at CKUT in Montreal.
With that, I'm out of bed breath, my chest pounding, surrounding, spin round it, head for 1,000 farts and I'm coughing, my air quality's just awful, a philosophy type of all structure, fluctuations in movement, a consumer, producers of the fumes and the gases and the solids and liquid masses, a cut back to taxes, cash but get accesses to more cash in the fachismo, machismo, John Wayne with pistols, fistful of the Patriot missile all set, perfectly fit for the apocalyptic shift in our existences, for the big shit to hit this, last steps and last gasp of breath, at last we swept up the earth like weaponry, the birth of first steps of baby death, indexes, Richter 16.6, we history, mutant fish, there's new breeds of magic bean, fourth season diseases, plagues and the famine rages, sun wage war when landscapes are made, useless domain for asbestos suit. Food groups get introduced into chains of retailer, biological agent, contaminate, taints it, the supply line's in danger, face it, the shit's all last days as the sun's rays blazing like lasers, gray haze pervades every space left available as nature invades, amazing grace. I think the sky's falling.
You just heard Sky is Falling by Lee Reed. You are tuned in to Groundwire, your source for news from the ground up, available online at www.groundwirenews.ca and airing on your local community radio station. Now it's time for our community radio report. Community radio has always been not only a source of news from grassroots and communities that are underrepresented in mainstream media, but has also been a vehicle to rally support for community members in need. Gennarji O'Sullivan from Co-op Radio in Vancouver last week used the power of community radio to rally support for people who had been arrested at a Kinder Morgan protest camp in Burnaby Mountain. Just as RCMP officers gathered at the camp to impose a court injunction and gather video evidence to use in court the next day, Gunarji took to the airwaves to call on the community to converge at the Burnaby Mountain Camp.
And we are also expecting call-ins from various people calling for a convergence to Burnaby Mountain. As many have been arrested, and you know what? It's not a very good scene up there. So they're calling all of you to join them. This year, the Kinder Morgan pipeline got approved, even though it's evident that the community at large, not just First Nations people from nation to nation, but the community at large does not want Kinder Morgan pipeline to go through our beautiful British Columbia. And there are people who have been standing in solidarity against the pipeline. And they're at Burnaby Mountain. People are being arrested in large, large numbers. And they're asking you, the listeners of Co-op Radio, to join them.
Through her radio show, Klahauya, Gunarji was able to speak with protesters live at the camp and get updated information on the camp and rally support from Vancouver Co-op listeners.
They were trying to clear trees with a huge pellet buncher on Gunarji Way on Burnaby Mountain on Unceded Coast Salish territories. So they're trying to put up this safe work zone, so-called, with the yellow rope and cut all these trees to build a road out to Gunarji. Water protectors were there today, and they chained themselves to the trees and shut down work for a good 2.5 to 3 hours. Before that, the road was blocked in front of the terminal, or in front of the gates of the tank farm and the terminal, and that was blocked from 7 a.m. till 9:30. So it was a good day of blockage costing them money, and they reacted by trying to give us an injunction. So just delay them.
How many camp members are standing in solidarity against the pipeline? How many have been arrested?
There's been around 4 people arrested from the camp, and there's like probably 10 people at the camp. So sometimes it dwindles pretty low, but the numbers. But
Community radio has the power to mobilize our communities with knowledge and political action, and is a fundamental part of the Canadian media landscape.
Please don't say no. You're being called to converge at Burnaby Mountain today. People have been arrested, and more are likely to happen within the next few hours and next few days. RCMP have been gathering to impose a court injunction at the Kinder Morgan camp at the tank farm. RCMP have stepped up the presence and are currently gathering video evidence to use in the courtroom tomorrow. So get your bottoms up there, people. You be the ones to save our waters. Thank you for listening to Klahauya FM. Thank you, Joshua Williams, for holding down the live stream. Yo.
Spring up the tailings, come undone. The grandfathers watch the young ones die.
The audio in that report came from Klahauya on Vancouver Co-op Radio, produced by Gunarji O'Sullivan. That's it for this edition of Groundwire, produced in Toronto on the traditional territories of the Mississaugas of the New Credit. Music this week was by Lee Reed from his 2015 album, The Butcher, the Banker, the Butamin Tanker. Thank you to all our contributors, as well as Gao Mahadevan, for making this episode possible. Tune in again to hear Groundwire on your local community radio station or download at groundwirenews.ca.